Good morning again. It's good to be before y'all all again this morning. Before we get started, I want to talk a little bit about Horizons. I had the pleasure of going to Free Hardeman for a week of camp for Horizons, and I was expecting not to have a lot of fun because I had to work security, and being security is not any fun, but even being security, I was still able to experience and to see the hearts of children. Probably one of the most beautiful things about being a youth minister and being a minister of God's Word is getting to see the heart of a kid or heart of a child open up. Kids can be frustrating sometimes. I'm sure most of you who are parents know that. But they have some of the most tender hearts in this world. I had the pleasure of helping two young ladies become Christians, helping them put on the blood of Christ in baptism, Jaden Cruz being one of them, and then Ellie Hargan from one of the other churches that went with us. And it was just a beautiful thing to be able to see. The theme for Horizons was broken. And if you've ever seen a child who realizes that they're broken, realizes that they've made mistakes, and realize that they need Jesus in their life to fix their brokenness, if you've ever seen that before, you know the beauty in that. You know the beauty that when a child says, God, I need your help, that is the most beautiful thing that I can ever experience in the job that I do. And so I wanted to just express that to you and to let you know that Horizons and Bible Camp is one of the greatest places to be because you get to see the hearts of children and the hearts of people who want to put on Christ for themselves. This morning, as we get started, the theme or the topic that I have chosen to speak to you about, and I know this is not what you're supposed to do as a speaker, is tell the audience what you're about to talk about. But if you are a Christian, you love. If you've ever seen the Geico commercials where they say, if you are this or that, you do this or that. It's what you do. If you are a Christian, you love. First point is going to be, it's what you do. The second point is going to be, it's who you are or it's what you are. And then the third point is going to be, it's who you serve. So, the first point, it's what you do. If you are a Christian, you love. It is what you do. First thing that we as Christians are supposed to do when we love is we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. That comes from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees, he is being questioned by people what the greatest commandment is. He tells them. Then he goes on to say, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two greatest commandments to ever be written. If you are a Christian, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You love your neighbor as yourself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, and also in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, and there are many other verses that we see this, but we are told to love one another. That is more of a deeper love than just loving your neighbor. That is loving one another as we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only does Jesus tell us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and then later someone writes, strength. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are also commanded to love our enemies. Loving our God with everything that we have, loving our neighbor, loving one another can be easy. Loving our enemies is probably the most difficult thing that we can bring ourselves to do. Jesus didn't necessarily like the Jews. He didn't necessarily like the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He didn't necessarily like them, but he loved them. He loved them enough that he was able to give himself up as a sacrifice. He went to the cross not only for Christians, but for those who did not believe him to begin with. He died for those Jews. He died for those Pharisees as much as he died for me and you. We are also to stir one another up in love. If you flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not only should we be loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not only should we be loving our neighbor as ourselves, not only should we be loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, not only should we be loving our enemies, but we should lead others, we should stir up others to love and good works. Our love for God, our love for Christ, our love for our neighbor, our enemies, for one another, should stir everyone else up to love and to do good works. If I am a Christian, I love. It's what I do. I love the Lord my God. I love my neighbor. I love you all. I love my enemies. And I stir up others to love and do good works. So if you're a Christian, you love. It's what you do. If you're a Christian, you love. It's who or what you are. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Start reading with me in verse 1 of chapter 8. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. If I am a Christian, I love. It's who or what I am. If I am love, according to verse 1, the knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If I am love, I, as a Christian, build up. If I am a Christian, I love. It's what or who I am. If I am love, I build up. I build up around me. I build those people around me to a higher place. I build them up. I give them encouragement. So if I'm a Christian, I love. It's who I am. If I'm love, I build up, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says that, let's just flip over there real quick. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 14. Start reading with me in verse 12, actually. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly, if I am a Christian and I love, and that is who I am, I bind everything together in perfect harmony. If I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart, I bind things together in perfect harmony. Because if I'm a Christian and I love, and it's who I am or it's what I am, if I am love, I bind things together. Not only bind things together, but I bind them in perfect love or perfect harmony. Because I allow the love of Christ, the love of God, dwell in me richly. If we are love, we abide in Him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, He in us, because He has given us to His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. So we have come to know and believe the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If I am a Christian, and if I am love, if that's who I am, then God abides in me, and I abide in God. If I am a Christian, I love. It's what I do. If I am a Christian, I love. It is who I am. It is what I am. And if I am a Christian, I love because it's who I serve. God is love. If we look back at 1 John chapter 4, start reading with me back in verse 8. 1 John chapter 4. Anyone who does not love, verse 7 actually. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him, through His Son. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us to His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe that God, the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, as he is so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If I am a Christian, I love because it's who I serve. God is love. If you do not love, if you do not have love, you do not know God, according to this verse. God is love, and love is God. He was rich in mercy because of his love. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are told that he was rich in mercy because of his love, because he was willing to send his only son to be the propitiation of my sins, to be the stand-in, to take my place in suffering. It is who I serve. He manifests among us, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, that we just read. God manifests among us, because if love manifests among us, if we love, then God manifests among us as well. Because God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we read this in class. We won't read the exact verses that we read in class, but in 1 Corinthians 13, we know this chapter to be the love chapter of the Bible. But in 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things and believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. If I am a Christian, I love. It's who I serve. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy. He does not boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. It is not irritable. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but he rejoices with the truth. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things, and he endures all things. God never ends. Why? Because God is love, and love never ends. Love, God, is who I serve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, we are told that Christ should drive us. Let's go ahead and flip over there, just a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. If I am a Christian, I love. It's who I serve, because for the love of Christ, that one has died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I love because of the one I serve. My love for Christ, my love for God should control me. It should drive me to want to love, to want to love others, to want to love the one who died for me and raised for me. One last verse, one last passage. Romans chapter 8. Verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are being regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you comprehend what Paul is writing to the Romans? There is nothing in this world, there is nothing in my life that can pry me from the hand of Jesus. If I am a Christian, if I am one who has put on Christ, I love because it is who I serve. If you picture yourself in the hand of Jesus. This is a hand that has a grip on you. It's a grip that is soft. It's a soft grip. It's a grip that is tight enough that it doesn't matter what tries to pry the fingers away from you. You cannot be taken from the hand of God and the hand of Christ and His love. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ except for you. You can separate yourself from the hand of Christ, from the love of Christ, because of the choices that you make. You choose to sin. You choose to separate yourself from God and from Christ. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that can take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ away from me. There is nothing that can take His love, His mercy, and His grace away from me, except for myself. That is a beautiful thought to think about, because when I think of the love of Christ, and I think about how much He loves me, He died on that cross for my sins, so that I could be in the hollow of His hand and never have to worry about Satan or demons or sin or anything else to pry the fingers away, to pry the fingers of Jesus and His love away from me. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that Satan can do to take Christ away from me. If I am a Christian, I love because it is who I serve. If it is what I do, I love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all of my strength, all of my mind. If I am a Christian, I love my neighbor as myself. If I am a Christian, I love one another. If I am a Christian, I love my enemies because Christ loved them. It's who I am. If I am a Christian, I love. I bind things together. I build things up because I am love. If I'm a Christian, I love because it is Jesus. It is love. It is God who I serve. Because he loved me enough that he did not want to see me be destroyed. He did not want to see me to be taken into the hands of someone else. So he hung on a cross. He bled. He suffered. He died so that I could be in the hollow of his hand. If you're here this morning, if you are not a Christian, you do not know the meaning of true love. You do not know what it means to experience the love of Christ, the love of God. I beg of you, if you are not a Christian this morning, if you do not know what true love is, what it feels like, I pray that you come this morning, that we can immerse you in the waters of baptism so that you can become a child of God, to be placed in the hollow of Jesus' hand, to never have the fear of being pried away. If you're here this morning and you have pried yourself out of the hollow of Jesus' hand, I want you to come this morning so that we can pray for you and so that we can help you get back into the palm of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you have a need of some kind, we pray that you come this morning as we stand and as we sing.